From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 31st day of May 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin. She's at Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Jackie Bakes is out of the office this afternoon. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility, they produce ethanol there outside of Logansport, Indiana, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss what's been happening with the crop progress reports with the statisticians from Indiana and Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. Looks like it should clear out and farmers should get into the field. Crops should have some good weather for the next couple of weeks, says Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He'll do that right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Sue Martin. She's at Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Sue. Thanks for taking so much time with us today. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's nice to be back.
Let's start with conditions in Iowa. So what I know about Iowa or any other area generally is if they're quiet, things probably look pretty good. Is that the case?
They do. You know, the corn's a little bit yellow, but we've seen other years like that. And then we seem to catch some nice summer heat, and all of a sudden the crop, greens up, and the roots start to get down into the ammonia or fertilizer or nitrogen, and the crop does look a lot better. So, we've had some, you know, it's amazing through the state how much of the crop in Iowa is all the same size, which means we're probably going to pollinate all at the same time.
Yeah, so does that put you at probably about the third week of July?
Yeah, I think it, I wouldn't be surprised that we could be the second week, you know, the latter part of the second week of July, from there on into the third. Yeah, that would be a pretty good time window, I think.
And how's the bean crop look?
Very little. It's just barely peeking through. You can row it. But the leaves are, you know, one thing, we've been pretty blessed through like a good heart of Iowa, right up through the middle, especially. We've been blessed to be a little bit drier because we just haven't had quite the rains that the western side has had and the northwest corner has had. And the same way, you know, if you go in towards the eastern side, as you get in towards Illinois, that area is more wet. So we've had, you know, the crop is... it's up, you can row it, but it's very, very small. And, of course, with the cool weather, you know, it's not been growing very easily. And farmers are, I talked to farmers today that are just finishing up planting beans. So I think progress will be pretty good next week. They're getting a window here. So next Monday we're going to be having some pretty good progress, I think.
I know you're really close right there to Des Moines or in the center of the state, roughly speaking, and you travel, I think, fairly often straight north up to the state line with Minnesota. I suspect you've done that. Have you been out west or talked to folks out west? There was some concern beginning. You mentioned dry conditions, that they've been dry for a little bit now.
Well, they have. In fact, even if you go further west, I'm finding that clients are telling me that they're dry and they need some rain. And even in South Dakota, the western side and even up north is very, very dry. So you've got pockets or areas where they could use some rain. And, you know, when we look at the longer-term forecast, it's calling for cool and dry. Well, you know, at least you don't stress things quite as much if that's comes to fruition. You'll markets never rally real well with cool and dry, but we'll see. We're just getting started to enter into June, and we're not off to the best start, but on the same token, we've seen other years where we were into June finishing up planting and we came off with a halfway decent crop. I don't think this is a year where you're going to see trend line and above yields. I think it's a year where we'll be trend line and below. We'll see, just a matter of how much.
On that note, USDA released its crop progress report yesterday. We'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana in just a bit. But it showed a condition of the corn crop, and this is the first time that's been released for the year, not as good as most had expected it to be in. They didn't really expect it to be in that good a shape. Consequently, we rallied a little bit in the corn market today. Is that the correct assumption?
Well, we did, and I think it was because everybody expected it to be a little better than it came out. We came out near the lower side of the range of guesses at 65%, and the low end of the guess was 63. So, you know, we managed to respond to that with a move up, putting everything back on. We lost yesterday, but we didn't hold on to the range today. We were 9, 9.5 higher, and then we came back and closed in the lower half of the range. But there's one thing that's kind of interesting. On January 30th, we put a low in. Actually, January 31st, we put a low in. And then on the 28th of January, or February, we put a high in, a secondary high, but it was like a double top, and of 393 on July corn. Then at the end of April, we made a nice reversal and put a high in on May 1st. And here we are today, rallying sharply again, but we didn't hold on to it. So we'll see what happens. This market's in a very sideways mode. The month of May was an inside range, a lower high than April and a higher low. And we've just been rolling back and forth, back and forth. And if we break out, you can take that channel and just roll the width of it, roll it up or roll it down, whichever way you break out. But, you know, when I look at the chart, it looks to me like the rally up into, like, say, middle of October to the latter part of October, and then there was a range there but had a little height there at the beginning of it, and you roll it down, and the low side came in like late December, December 23rd. Then you put a low in there and you rallied on up and put your highs in on February 16th and 28th. And that could be a head, the other one the shoulder. And then you came down for a low on March 27th, came up for your high on April 3rd. And we've been chopping sideways ever since. Could that be a right shoulder? If it is, then you could see these corn get down to as low as possibly maybe, yeah, probably 340 on the Dease corn, something in that area. And everybody would say, oh, my goodness. But that's still not as low as what we got a year ago. A year ago, our low was 308.5. So this market's rolling. It's trying to get ready. And I'm still of the belief that we end the year much better than what we're looking at today. It's just how we get there. And if I'm right that we have another derivative of an 84-year cycle low due in August, then where's corn going to go?
So I got a different question for you. On old crop, even if you're a little positive, are you thinking that producers need to be ready to pull the trigger and empty their bins out sooner rather than later?
Yes, because they're going to have to move between now and harvest time anyway. And the marketplace knows that. And elevators are full. I've even heard of some elevators in Iowa offering to take the corn from the bins on the farmer's farm and take that corn and move it, as opposed to moving corn they might have in the elevator. Well, that's because they want the storage. But the bottom line is the trade out there, the ethanol plants and the end users, they know all that corn's there, and they know it's going to move. So they're not going to be probably as kind to you once this planting season is over with, and for all practical purposes, we're pretty much getting there. So they're going to start to realize farmers are going to be moving corn between June and into July. They're going to be trying to take advantage of that. I would say yes, you get big days like this, and from what I hear, basically Illinois farmers, I heard they picked up in sales today. So, you know, taking advantage of a nice big day. And then if I'm right on this, use the break that we get down into August and use that opportunity to get yourself placed out into Dease or July corn of next year and replace your ownership on the board.
1 minute left, and we've talked about corn the whole time. Very quickly, what do we do with soybeans, new crop?
Well, right now, it's easy to be a bear on beans because of fundamentals out of Brazil and what have you. Cool, dry weather, and it's dry, but cool isn't probably going to do anything real special for the crop. But on the same token, because beans like to be stressed a little bit, but I would have to say with the bean market, we hit a wave four on November beans this week at 922.5. There is another possible wave four count at 890. So I have a hard time selling into that at that time. You've had a huge outside range month here in May, higher high and a lower low than April. So that portends you'll probably try to dip down a little lower into June here, make a lower low, and then I think you could get some rally back, some bounce back up to a line, and then you could maybe take and make some sales if you haven't done so. You know, there is one potential. If you hold these levels here, once we get into August, I'm going to be buying beans. But, because I feel the way I do about beans going into August, that rally is probably an opportunity to get some sold because you'll get another chance to replace back on the board if you have to.
Thanks, Sue, for taking time with me today. We'll talk to you again soon, and thank you for being on the home radio station every day at just a few minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
That, of course, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She's located in Webster City, Iowa. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The United States Department of Agriculture has updated the weekly crop progress report for the 28th day of May. It shows 91% of the corn crop has been planted around the nation. The rolling five-year average is 93%. 73% of the crop has emerged. The five-year average is 75%. 57% of the crop is in good condition, 8% in excellent condition. It's worth noting that 6% of the crop is in poor condition and 28% of the crop is in fair condition. 67% of the soybeans have been sown nationwide. 68% is the rolling five-year average. 37% of that crop has emerged. 40% is the rolling five-year average. A quick look at the wheat numbers shows 80% of the crop is headed. 77% the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 41% good and 9% excellent condition around the nation. Here now are the state statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report. Wet conditions kept farmers from finishing up planting. Statewide, there were only 2.7 days suitable for field work. There were scattered reports of corn turning yellow and replanting of crops in areas with standing water. Nearly all of Iowa's corn crop has been planted, with only South Central Iowa having over 10% of the crop remaining to be planted. Corn emerged reached 82%, 3 days behind last year, but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. 73% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean planting reached 77% complete, 5 days behind last year. South Central Iowa lags behind with 43% of the crop yet to be planted. Soybean emergence reached 39%, 3 days behind last year and 1 day behind average. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report for the week ending May 28, 2017. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Steve Malaszewski with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Field activities included row crop planting and hay cutting. Precipitation averaged about 3/4 of an inch, 34 hundredths below normal. Corn planting was 93% complete, compared with the five-year average of 96%. Corn emerged was at 80%, compared with 86% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated at 3% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 44% good, and 8% excellent. Soybean planting was 62% complete, slightly behind last year and the five-year average. Soybeans emerged was at 38%. Winter wheat headed reached 98%, compared to the five-year average of 91%. Winter wheat condition was rated 5% very poor, 13% poor, 31% fair, 42% good, and 9% excellent. This has been Steve Malaszewski with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS. Cool and cloudy conditions across much of Minnesota prevented fields from drying out much during the week. Farmers are looking for sunshine and warmer days to aid crop development and complete planting. Corn planting in Minnesota is nearing completion with 96% of the acreage planted. 81% of the corn crop had emerged. That's 5 days behind last year, but 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition rated 68% good to excellent, down 14 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean planting was 81% complete. That's 8 days behind last year, but 3 days ahead of average. 39% of the soybean acreage had emerged. That's 5 days behind last year. Small grain planting was wrapping up throughout the state. Spring wheat was 97% emerged, with 16% at or beyond the jointing stage. Spring wheat condition rated 96% good to excellent. Oats were 87% emerged, with 50% of the oat acreage at or beyond the jointing stage. Oat condition rated 76% good to excellent. The barley crop was 88% emerged and 19% jointing, with condition rated 93% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay was 14% complete. That's 9 days behind last year and 3 days behind average. All hay condition rated 80% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Frequent rains left many fields with standing water, making it difficult for farmers to do any field work. Both corn and soybeans were reported to have emergence issues in some areas due to excessive rains and crusty topsoils. Farmers continued to replant where necessary. Cutworm presence remains in cornfields. Periods of strong winds and rain caused lodging in some winter wheat fields, whereas others experienced sinkholes. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.07 to 4.81 inches. Corn was 81% planted, compared to 83% last year and 90% 5-year average. Corn was 60% emerged this week, compared to 57% last year and 73% 5-year average. Soybeans were 54% planted, compared to 58% last year and 71% 5-year average. Soybeans were 32% emerged, compared to 26% last year and 44% 5-year average. Winter wheat was 90% headed, compared to 89% last year and 80% 5-year average. Pastures and hay fields benefited from the rainfall, but farmers were unable to make much progress on cuttings. Other activities included spraying nitrogen, tilling, hauling grain, mowing roadsides, and certifying with FSA. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across 4 of the 5 top producing corn states in the nation. This is the closing market report for Wednesday afternoon. It's the 31st day of May. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be able to speak to you right before we transition into summer here.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about that, because it looks like we're making that transition. Weather's opening up. Farmers are going to be able to finish their planting season, I think, with some gusto maybe this
week. Well, I hope that that is indeed going to be the case. So we certainly have an opportunity here for the improving trend that you speak of verifying. So, but I do see a couple of cool air masses still possibly dropping into the eastern Midwest, so we'll need to watch that, and that may help to set off some stronger thunderstorms again at some point down the road. But hopefully we'll get enough good days in here that we can get done with the most essential part of the planting season before that happens. And but I do think that we will see some more rain coming on. But you know what? If you're a crop that's in the ground right now, the pattern that's advertised for the next 2 weeks is absolutely wonderful, I think. We really get some alternating periods of rain and sunshine. The temperatures are warmer a little bit. We do get some shots of cool air, but they're very brief, and it's a good mix. We'll have sunshine, and there's plenty of moisture in the ground, obviously, so we don't need to worry about big, heavy amounts of moisture. So the crop will probably take off and try to make up for some lost time. But I am a little concerned about a couple of cool air masses that may still drop through and set us back a little bit on those degree day accumulations. But planting is still the big concern. I think that we will be able to get a lot of the field work done, and that includes the replant. However, there's going to be a need for mudding in some of that crop. I just can't see it getting dry enough, quick enough to allow us to have ideal conditions for that late crop.
Okay, so I take it you're talking about Indiana, parts of Ohio for the mudding and other places. And are the systems 2 or 3 days apart, or are they more like 4 or 5 days apart?
Well, right now they look like they could be a little bit wider, maybe 3 or 4 days, but it wouldn't surprise me to see that tighten up just a little bit again, especially if we're going to bring in some cooler air once in a while. What will end up happening is we'll bring thunderstorms in with the arrival of the cooler air. The cooler air won't be there for very long, and the warm air will return, and then suddenly we've got another chance for thunderstorms when the warm air overruns into the cool air again. So, and that seesaw will likely occur fairly often. And so that's why I think if you're a crop that's in the ground and established, you're going to love this. But if you're a farmer who's trying to get that crop back into the ground or in the ground for the first time, whatever, it's still going to be a little challenging in a few spots.
Who's going to have the most challenge? What part of the country?
I still think it's probably going to be the lower Midwest, the area that's already been beat up a little bit. We will see some drier conditions there, like I said, but I'm not convinced that we're going to just stop the rains completely and allow for the best drying conditions to take place. Further to the west, we'll have a more of an influence from warmer bias conditions. And when you get into the upper Midwest, I think there's potential there that we'll actually continue to have a little bit of a drier bias for a little while longer.
And thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day.
That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helps us wrap up the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.